This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. I want to shout out to one of our amazing sponsors, and that's On the Rocks Liquor, man. I can't say enough about this place. It's Friday, too. They got their free wine and beer tastings going on. Beer of the week is from Breckenridge Brewing. It's their Oktoberfest, so celebrate the Broncos with this timeless lager. Get your six-pack today. Joining me now, Benjamin and I, we need to share a six-pack one of these days, or maybe a 12-pack. Host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright, joining me now. Dude, it's been too long. Thank you so much for giving us some time today, my friend.
No worries at all. Why stop at a 12-pack? They got the 30-pack now.
We could get, you know what? We could get carried away. We could do this thing. It is the weekend, man. We could, don't tease me here.
Hey, I'm just putting it out there. If you don't like it, send it right back.
Benjamin, yesterday was kind of an interesting day, and I really, that's why I was thinking of you, man, because I'm not there, I'm not seeing this stuff like you guys are seeing, and of course, you are one of the closest media members to this team. Talk to me a little bit about Garrett Bowles and kind of that situation that went down yesterday.
Well, it was an extremely hot day. The air was a little thick from some of the burn stuff and the fire in the air, and so Garrett a little dehydrated, a little bit of asthma, and he's going to be fine. They pulled him out as a precaution, put him instead of going inside the facility, there's an ambulance over at the end of the field there, and that ambulance has got IVs and all that kind of stuff, so they put him in there. The reporting made it sound a lot worse than it was. Reality is he's going to be fine.
Okay, well that's good, because that's the big fear, right? When you get into training camp is what, you know, hopefully they can stay healthy at least through training camp. So in your mind, what you've been told and everything, that's nothing to worry about beyond what went down yesterday.
Yeah, nothing to worry about. Combination of circumstances and the heat and all that, and really just need an IV, and he's fine.
All right, good news there. What else? Cortland Sutton, is he? I saw a report yesterday, and again, this is why we're having you on the show, because sometimes reports can come out and make it sound really bad. But you know, you being out there on site can help us kind of set that straight. Cortland Sutton, did he hobble around a little bit? Is anything concerning there?
Nothing concerning there. Caught a wayward knee, hobbled him around for a minute, held him out of a few plays for precautionary reasons, but totally fine. And a few of the starters will play Saturday. He's not going to be one of them. So, you know, plenty of time to rest that thing back up and be ready to go.
So I'm guessing then the starters, the main starters anyway, their preseason is over.
Mostly they may get a drive or two in the New Orleans game just to kind of keep them fresh before you get that 2 weeks off before the start of the season. So, you may see a little bit of this, the starters in the New Orleans game. They're kind of trying to figure this 3-game preseason thing out. And they have this formula where they have a certain number of plays they give guys and all that. They like to give them a couple series in the first game. And then it used to be they'd give them a couple series in the second game and then off. And now what they want to do is give them a couple series in the first game, give them the second game off, and then give them a couple series in the third game, and then you get 2 weeks off, and then you're back to the start of the season.
Is that is how the Broncos are handling their preseason? Because it does seem like a lot of teams maybe do it a little bit differently. Years and years ago, especially when there were 4 games, it kind of seemed like teams all somewhat did a similar thing, but now it just depends on the head coach. Is that right?
Yeah, everybody's got their own, you know, kind of formula. Sean McVay doesn't play starters at all. Sean Payton likes to play starters, but play them stretched out a bit so that they get kind of a ramp up. You see guys that try to sort of continue the old school blueprint where you get a few plays in the first one, a bunch of plays in the second one, don't do anything in the third one, and then, you know, you start the season. Everybody's got their own philosophy, and right now we don't have enough data to show if any one philosophy is better than another.
Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, joining me. All right, man, what's your take? Because you got a lot of freak out people, after last week. You know, the starters come out. It doesn't look amazing. It's preseason, whatever. Where do you stand on that? What did you see? And is there any concern specifically about a guy, you know, like Bo Nix?
Well, I'm never freaking out unless Brady Hull's calling me and asking me to be on the show. Then I'm freaking out, you know, fangirling pretty hard.
Yes.
But other than that, I'm never freaking out. I think I'll say the same thing I said last year. You know, last year Bo came out, lit the world on fire, right? And I urged caution. I'm like, well, this is the preseason. Let's not put a lot of stock into this. It's going to take them a little time to get ramped up during the season. We all saw, you know, that it took about six games of the season for them to get ramped up. And good to go. This one kind of feels like the other side of the coin, where there's a lot of expectation this year and all that. And I'm saying, okay, well, let's hit the brake pedal just a little bit as well. You know, it takes a minute for an offense to get going. There's still some pieces that are trying to, you know, integrate themselves, and they're trying to install a few things. So I'm not panicked on the offense. I would say that the offense is significantly behind the defense, but this defense is very good. This is a championship caliber defense. A lot of people were freaking out a little bit at that Niners game, but they gave up the one play. It's a 50-yard play, and McMillan just missed it. It wasn't like he got burned or anything. He just missed the play. They gave up that one play, and the Niners didn't do anything else the rest of the game. Nothing. The other 2 points they got were off of safety on the offense. So the defense is there. It's a championship-caliber defense. The question is, as the offense continues to work, how quickly can they get up to speed? The good news is those first two games look pretty winnable. First two games of the regular season, you're taking on the Titans. They got a rookie quarterback in his first start. And then you've got the Colts, who are trying to decide between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. And I got to be honest with you, when faced with those choices, I might opt for a third choice of the noose at that point. But, the Broncos kind of have a soft ramp up here before they really start to get in the tough part of the schedule after that, where you get the Chargers, the Bengals, the Eagles, and then you're on to London. So, you know, I'm not going to hit the panic button until we're at the Colts game and that offense is struggling. Then I might start getting worried.
Talk to me about what this looks like for the running back room, the depth chart. Obviously, J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey, we know we're pretty much, I mean, I'm guessing J.K. starts at this stage, but really the question is about who's number three, who's number four, how many running backs are the Broncos carrying?
Well, it'll either be three or four. I suspect probably four, since Nate Adkins has had to have a little bit of surgery. He's going to be out the first few weeks of the season. He would be the H-back. So, and Mike Burton is the fullback, has been a little banged up. So I suspect you're going to wind up keeping four backs there instead of three. And so the question really is that third and fourth back. Right now that looks like Tyler Bidet and Jaleel McLaughlin fighting it out for that spot. Jaleel could potentially be a trade candidate for one of these teams that that's had an injury to their backs or whatever, just because he sort of doesn't really offer much. When he's on the field, you know what he's doing, right? He's too small to be back there in pass protection, and he's not, you know, the world's greatest receiver, so he's going to be getting the ball on a handoff. So you know you're kind of tipping your hands. It's like when the Broncos had Phil Lindsay, right? We all love Phil Lindsay, but when Phil Lindsay was in the backfield, you knew what was happening. He wasn't pass protecting. He wasn't catching the ball. He was running. So, you know, you're kind of tipping your hand when he's on the field, so you can't use him that much. And so you'll have J.K. being the lead back. R.J. Harvey will be the second back, and he'll try to take that lead back as the season progresses. And then probably Tyler Bidet is the third guy, if not Jaleel. And then you're, you know, Blake Watson and Audric Estime are fighting it out at the bottom, trying to make it as well.
Are you shocked about Audric Estime? I mean, I was excited, you know, last year when hearing the Broncos picked him up, drafted him. It just seemed like he never really took hold and had some injury stuff too. And we just kind of wondered about the relationship, I guess, between Sean Payton and Audric Estime.
Yeah, they never really stuck with him. I think a Chiefs game was the one where they gave him the most run, but he there was a fumble or two in there.
Yeah.
It's just those things that get you in Sean Payton's doghouse. Once you get in there, it's tough to get out. I'd say, you know, for Estime, who was expected to be, you know, the big back in the Thunder and Lightning backfield, well, if you're going to be the Thunder, you got to bring the Thunder, and we didn't see much of that. And I would suggest that for a guy like Sean Payton, who has had plenty of those thunderous backs before, whether it was Latavius Murray or Mark Ingram or Dukes McAllister, whatever, you've got to be a guy that is able to pick up yardage on early downs and pass protect well. And Estime really hasn't shown a propensity for either one.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country tonight. Let's go to the defensive side, Benjamin. Nick Benito, talk to me about his situation right now. Obviously, we know we're waiting to see if the Broncos are going to get a contract done with him, but he's got a little something going on injury-related, too.
Yeah, it's a bone spurs on the top of his foot. They're getting that cleaned up. He'll be fine by the start of the season. You know, he's actually fine now. He could probably go practice, you know, next week, but they'll take it easy with him. As far as the contract situation, I think that's interesting because most of the reporting I'm seeing out there is pretty wrong. It's not Benito waiting on the team for a contract. The team has already offered. Benito and his camp are very smartly waiting because Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons have been holdouts, and they're going to reset that top five average for edge rushers. And so Benito knows that that number means the franchise tag goes up, his leverage goes up. So his camp very smartly is sort of waiting, you know, until those two get done before they come back with the counteroffer and get, you know, and get a deal done and all that kind of stuff. So I expect Nick Benito to be a Denver Bronco. I expect him to get that deal done. But, you know, Benito is trying to secure the bag, and hey, I'm not going to blame him for that.
No, and do you have any idea what the initial offer looks like? What kind of numbers are we talking about?
Well, I think the Broncos came in low at something like 23 average per year, 23 to 25. And his camp, they figure once this Hendrickson and Parsons deal gets done, that'll put them in the 28 to 33 per year average. And so that's really what they're, you know, they're doing there. They know that they can get more money out of that, and that's where the final number will be.
All right, so this is why we have you on, man. You got to set the record straight. You also got to, you know, keep us calm here, because I don't want a world without Nick Benito wearing the blue and orange, my friend.
Well, yeah, me either. I mean, who else am I going to make Casa Benito references, you know, about as far as that stuff goes? That was one of my better nicknames that I've coined. The X-Moss, you know, PS2 and X-Moss hasn't caught on like I thought it would. You know, and then Devin Key and P.J. Locke didn't take the starting job, so I can't have the Locke and Key safety tandem.
That's always the worst when you come up with you originally come up with your own nickname and it takes off and then the player leaves. I mean, there's nothing worse than that.
Right, and then you got to hand that off. Like, who wants to hand a nickname off to Tampa Bay or whatever? You know, get out of here.
How are you feeling about this team? I know you're high. I think a lot of people are high on this defense. Does this team return to the playoffs? Do you see that, or maybe even further? I know Sean Payton is, you know, he's at least saying it out loud, but he's mentioning Broncos and Super Bowl in the same sentence. How far? How good do you think this team can be?
Well, you know, on the one hand, I appreciate that our head coach is setting a standard of excellence. Like, this is, we're going to keep invoking Super Bowl because that's where we want to be, right? I appreciate that. There was a saying on my Sergeant Major's wall when I was in the Army. It said, you know, we're going to set the standard here at excellence, and if you can't meet it, we'll thank you kindly for trying and find someone who will. I've always appreciated that saying, right? So I love that part of it. The flip side of that is this team has not yet arrived, and you're sort of painting a target and expectations on a second-year quarterback and a bunch of pieces you just brought in, and that part of it kind of unsettles me a little bit. I like being slept on. I like being under the radar and then coming up and punching people in the mouth. So, you know, like they did last year, when everybody said they were the worst roster and the books had them at 5.5 wins or whatever, which was ludicrous, but whatever. You know, so that part of it, you know, all the talk about it kind of sets the hairs on the back of my neck up a little bit. This defense is a championship caliber defense. They'll drag this team to the, you know, close to the playoffs or to the playoffs by themselves. The question really is about the offense. Does it take a leap with the pieces that they've added and Bo Nix in year two? And that's something we can't answer till they're on the field. So I think the floor for this team is, you know, again, all this is with the caveat that everybody stays healthy. I think the floor for this team is 9 wins, and you know, and they, you know, they flirt with the playoffs or get in on a wild card. I think the ceiling for this team is something like, you know, 11, 12 wins. They get the ball bouncing right, and, you know, and some favorable injury luck. And then you're talking about maybe trying to get to the, you know, the division or the conference championship there. And so those kinds of things. So I think you're a 9 to 12 win football team. You stay healthy. And, you know, the question there is how far can you get once you get in the playoffs? Because that's a whole new season.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see how this one goes down. Like you said, the first two matchups might be a good warm up. Hopefully, I'm trying not to get too cocky with it, but it feels like, you know, especially Tennessee could be a little bit of a warm up there. So hopefully the Broncos get the job done on September 7th. Benjamin, my friend, always. always appreciate your insight and what you bring to the table. Hopefully we can keep doing this. I know we had you on weekly last week, and I would love to be able to do that again, but I know you're a busy man, so have your people call my person. I've got a producer back there. Or you can just text me.
Well, I don't have people. I'm a one-man shop. We're two. We don't have. We're not like Moneybags Brady Hull up there. We're we got billions to just toss around. So,
but you should see my person I'm talking about across from me there. He is a smooth operator, man. He's basically like an agent. I mean, he hasn't negotiated any dollars yet for me, and it's been about 12 years. But I believe he's going to get something popping here.
Hey, dare to dream.
All right, my man. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Always love catching up with him. Good dude. There he goes, too. Micah, that's the first time we've heard that, right? On this show, at least. The Broncos have a contract. It's ready. So all this talk of Broncos need to get down there and sign it right now, bring that they've already offered him. They already got a contract out there, according to Benjamin Albright. So Nick's waiting to see what the market does, rightfully so, and he could be up there in the 25, 28 mil range.
Well, let me call Nick during the break and make it happen.
You are my guy. You're my person. Like, when I tell people, have your people call my people. You're my people.
Yeah, he and I are pretty tight. You know,
really?
The entire roster. Like, when you are drafted by the Broncos or when you sign the Broncos, the first thing they do
they
is
call
they
you.
Gave you, them my number.
Well, you did go to training camp, like, 20 years ago. I'm sure that made a lasting impression on the entire organization. And now your picture is up there, probably in their facility.
They're building a statue.
Won't take much. You're not very tall, so it won't take much stone to get that done. So,
but I am wide.
Yeah, you can chisel that, though. We can make you look good in the statue.
They're going to put me in the Ring of Fame, but like not in the stadium, more like in the middle of one of the toilet bowls.
I still just love the idea of you at a training camp, actually at training camp, as a reporter. You were there as an on-field reporter. Michael Kilpatrick reporting for the Broncos.
No, that was Chris Ott who was reporting, and I was just there being excited, but trying to be as professional as possible.
But you were there.
That's why I'm no longer professional.
You were approved to go there because they assumed you weren't just a little fanboy running around like, ooh, Broncos, John Elway, give me a hug, I love you. They assumed you were actually going to be there to, like, you know, be professional. And it sounds like you were. You contained yourself.
I contained myself, and I used up all my professionalism.
If you were, how crazy of a fan are you? Because I know you're a diehard Broncos fan. Like, you are diehard. I'm a big Broncos fan, but you are a much bigger fan than me. Would you fanboy around Broncos players? Like, would you ask for autographs and stuff if you saw? Like, if you saw Terrell Davis walk in this building right now, what would you do?
I would not ask for an autograph.
Really?
Because I know he probably gets that a lot.
Yeah. So you wouldn't fanboy?
I wouldn't fanboy.
Would you ask for a
much,
picture?
But I would definitely say, hey, big fan of you and love what you did with the Broncos and you're awesome.
Would you ask for a picture?
Of
you and him?
I mean, if that possibility was there, like if he was just in and out, like, really quickly to do an interview or, you know, to pick up a prize or something.
Yeah.
I would be like, hey, you know, I'd
you'd give him
converse
a hug
in passing.
Yeah.
If it was more, like, relaxed and he had some extra time, I'd be like, hey, can I get a picture with you?
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. It's good to know you still are somewhat professional. We are not going to have Terrell Davis on in the final hour of the show, but we're going to do something better. We're going to have Tanner Schwint and the dude down the hall join us for the meeting of the mindless on the
whole
show.
That's worse.
No, that have
it's
you
way
heard?
Worse.
No, that is so good. I'm curious to get their thoughts. Tanner will probably talk cows and barn raising with us today, and Derbs will actually talk some sports. So, well, you never know what you're going to get. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.